chapter 9, verse number 16, praise the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, Matthew chapter 9, and Acts chapter 2, praise God. Amen. I appreciate the testimonies of our young people. Appreciate hearing the good things that God's doing in their lives. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. I'm excited for what God's going to do in our entire youth group here in the next few weeks. Ready for summer. Praise God. I'm just glad I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I've got it. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 9, if you found it, say amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 16. Jesus is speaking to the people here. He's saying, "No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." Okay, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance." Now down to verse 12. "And they were all amazed." This is talking about the people who were not in the upper room. "They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine." Praise the Lord. I want to preach to you tonight on a leaking experience. A leaking experience. Will you pray with me? Lord, I love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for your power that's in this place. I pray for liberty, God. I pray, Lord, for just the next few minutes, you would just destroy every distraction. Get them out of the way, God. And Lord, please, please, please open each heart to receive your word. Let my words be few and yours many. Anoint us, God. Anoint our hearts to receive. Help us to remember our experience with the Holy Ghost and Pentecost tonight. We love you, Lord. We praise you. And the church said amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll be very brief tonight, so just bear with me. The parable that I read to you is Jesus trying to convey to the crowd that the new covenant, the better covenant that he was bringing, it cannot be mingled with the old covenant. That's why he's saying you can't put new wine into old bottles. Now, the old covenant was the Jewish laws and traditions and their sacrifices, those kind of things, etc., etc. But Jesus was trying to tell them, I've come to fulfill the old covenant. Praise the Lord. I'm glad he did, aren't you? I'm glad he was that ultimate sacrifice. And I've come to establish the new covenant of grace and salvation through faith in Christ. Praise the Lord that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Praise God for that promise. Praise the Lord. But of course, with any new thing that wants to come into the church or that the church tries to do, there's always opposition to new things. Now, the Pharisees, they had the old way of doing things. They were the old church. They wanted to do things their way, in their traditional way. But they opposed Jesus, and Jesus was trying to preach to them about repentance and redemption through Him and how He's coming to make things different and make things better. Praise the Lord, He was the Messiah. See, the Pharisees, they liked their laws and their strict lifestyle. They liked being on a pedestal. They liked being the ones who everyone looked to as the judge of whether they were doing right or wrong. But now with the new covenant, Jesus was our mediator between us and God. Praise the Lord. And we could talk directly to God. Now, the Pharisees, they didn't want that. They didn't like the new way of things. And they, because of their desire for the old law and lifestyle, they were opposed to any different view or opinion, which is something that Jesus had. Now, the illustration that Christ uses is an interesting one when he's trying to show the people about the new covenant, how it can't be mingled with the old one. But we're going to focus on the second of the two examples there. Jesus said, you can't put new wine into old bottles. You cannot put new wine into old bottles. Now, the bottles that back in the Bible times they used to keep grape juice and the wine in were made of goat skin. How many of you would like to drink from goat skin? I don't think I would. I haven't yet, and I don't plan on it anytime soon. But in the fermenting process, there's violence. Inside that bottle, there is a violent thing happening. There's the fermenting of the wine is pretty powerful, and it begins to erode and deteriorate and really just put a lot of pressure on the bottle. And the bottle, once it becomes the wine becomes fermented inside that bottle begins to weaken and it loses its strength, and it's not any good anymore to put new wine into. Because if you put the new wine into the old bottles, it can't stand the power that's inside of it. It can't stand the pressure that is inside of that bottle. That fermenting process puts so much pressure on the old bottle that the old bottle would actually begin to crack and to burst. And the new wine would leak out, and it would be a waste. It would be a waste of time, a waste of energy, a waste of money, a waste of profit. And so it would leak out all over the ground, all over the floor, and they would lose the new wine. Now here we are in the book of Acts. We find a group of men and women, praise the Lord, who have been filled with something new. Can I hear an amen? Amen. They were filled with something new. There's something different going on in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. Now, there's something peculiar. It's out of the ordinary, and it's taking place there in their lives. 120 people out of all the population there were the only ones who were part of that new thing. What was that new thing? It was God pouring out His Spirit, praise the Lord, upon the first church right there in the city of Jerusalem, just like He said He would. Tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So there they were in that upper room, serving and worshiping and praising and trying to receive the promise of the Father. And then all of a sudden the Bible says that while they're there up there praying, singing, I don't know what they were doing, but all of a sudden there came a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house, every spot where they were sitting. And fire fell from heaven, praise the Lord. Cloven tongues, like as a fire, it sat upon each of them. And the Bible says that they spoke with another tongue as the Spirit gave the utterance. Amen. They spoke in tongues. They spoke in languages they had never known. They weren't fluent in those things. They didn't know them. They were ignorant of them. But when the Spirit of God gets involved, amen, and when the Spirit of God takes control of your tongue and you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it's an experience that's inexplainable. Can I hear an amen on that? Praise God. And so there they were experiencing this, and I imagine that it's caused some emotional and spiritual outbursts like we experience in our Pentecostal services today. Amen. I imagine Peter, he probably took a lap around the table in the upper room. Maybe a couple people started shouting. Maybe a couple ladies started screaming and jumping. I don't know what they did. But something got the attention of the crowd that was outside of the house. Their joy was expressed in praise and worship. They begin speaking in the languages they had never learned, like I said. But there outside the upper room in the streets are men and women from all over the world. You had Cretes and Arabians and people from Pamphylia and all kinds of other countries in the biblical world there. And they were there for the Passover, there to celebrate a Jewish feast. But while they were there roaming the streets, doing their own thing, all of a sudden their night was interrupted when they heard the wonderful works of God spoken from the upper room. A bunch of Galileans up there who shouldn't have been speaking those languages were telling the people on the streets how good God is and what God can do and how God can help them. Amen. Praise God for the gifts of the Spirit and how they work in the church today. But they were in the upper room and they were trying to help them. God was ministering to the people in the upper room. He was ministering to the people outside the upper room. Praise the Lord. They begin to hear in their own languages, in their own dialects, the wonderful works of God. Amen. In their own languages. And the only response that they had for that occasion was wonder. I mean, the Bible says that they were amazed. They were astonished. They were in wonder at what happened. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, if I started speaking Spanish right now, all of you would be like, wow, that's awesome. You know, I mean, I don't know fluent Spanish. I know a poquito. Amen. But there they were, hearing the wonderful works of God. And they didn't understand. And when the world doesn't understand things, they often begin to mock it. They do. They begin to make fun of it. When they see someone they don't understand, they try to make light of the situation and laugh about it because they feel stupid, because they don't understand it. But in mocking the church, they really gave some credibility to what was going on. Amen. They said, these men are full of new wine. These men are full of new wine. Now, the world can only equate the Pentecostal experience with something worldly. That's the truth. They can't understand it, so they try to compare it with something that they know. But they attached a word that shows wonder and curiosity. They could have said, man, these men, these women are drunk. But no, they said, these men are full of new wine. These men, this wonder and curiosity and misunderstanding, it came as a result of their not being a part of that experience. They were down there, and they were, and the people in the upper room were up here having a good time in God's presence, and the ones down here were like, what in the world? They're acting like drunk men, but this isn't the kind of drunk that we act like. This isn't the way we act when we're drunk. We don't talk about God and His works and in other languages. This is some kind of a new wine. Amen. This is new. In other words, they're saying they have an experience that we have never approached before. They have an experience that we desire to look into. They have something different. They have something better. They have a new experience. Praise God. You know, every time somebody who's in the world, a sinner, a worldly person, sees the difference between them and a Pentecostal person, there's a dynamic reaction. There is. There always is. When you walk out of this place with the anointing of God and somebody who's in the world sees you, they may not say anything, but in their mind, they know something's going on in your life and they want to be a part of that. Or they know something's going on in your life and they don't understand it. And so they don't know what to say, so they're quiet. Praise the Lord. You know, the Pentecostal experience is this. It's an intoxication, praise the Lord, that's unequatable by the wines of this world. Amen. That's why they called it a new wine. Praise the Lord. Oh, we can't explain it. This isn't any kind of grape juice we've ever had before. I don't know. I can't find this anywhere. It must be some kind of a new wine. Praise God. And Peter, he stood up. Amen. And he said, you know what? Yeah, we're not drunk as you suppose. But this is that promise. Amen. This is the Spirit of God. This is definitely a new wine. A wine that you cannot taste until you've come into contact with the Savior, praise the Lord. It's a heavenly wine, a divine wine, a non-alcoholic wine. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said that new wine, it can't go into old bottles. The reason is that the new wine will burst the old bottles. So I want to take that principle and apply it to our Pentecostal experience, if I may. I'd say that a Pentecostal experience, being filled with the Holy Ghost, being drunk in the Spirit of God with new wine that comes from heaven, the Pentecostal experience is only lasting when we allow God to change us in the process. A Pentecostal experience can only last as long as we are continuously obeying God. Amen. As long as we are continuing to get closer to God and obey Him in everything He requires of us. In other words, the shout and speaking in tongues, the goosebumps, the being used in the gifts, they're only good if we are changed in the process. Can I hear an amen? Amen. They're only good if we're changed in the process. If we do not allow God to make us new in the mind and in the heart, in the lifestyle, that new experience, that being filled with the Spirit, will quickly become a leaking experience unless you allow God to change you to be a new body, a new bottle, if you will. Praise the Lord. It will be as if the new wine, the Holy Ghost, has been placed into old wineskins if we never change when we're under the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to turn your attention to just a few examples here. One is the old wineskins. An example of a leaking experience or a new wine being put into old wineskins is when you get filled with the Holy Ghost on Sunday and you've lost the experience by Wednesday. That's a leaking experience. An example of a leaking experience is when you get a blessing but never change your lifestyle. That's a leaking experience. An example of a leaking experience is when you are always up and down, up and down, up and down. That's a leaking experience. Don't get me wrong. I know we go through ups and downs. But some are up and down, up and down, up and down. And that ain't right. Amen. You have a leaking experience. The old wineskins. You're the container of the Holy Spirit. He indwells within you. Praise the Lord. I'm glad He does. But He can only stay there as long as He is welcome there. Praise the Lord. And unless you allow Him to change you, the pressure that goes on inside of the heart, inside of the Spirit, where He dwells, it's going to break you and your experience is going to run out. You've got to allow Him to mold and to change and to form and to lead and to guide and to direct. Praise God. That's the only way to keep your Pentecostal experience. Here's a few reasons why the Pentecostal experience will leak out of you if you're not careful. Number one is no outflow. If you keep that, imagine, if you will, a farmer. Do we have any farmers in here? Brother Rush, you're a farmer. Kinda. Amen. He's a gardener. Praise the Lord. Imagine a farmer who grows thousands and thousands of acres of corn and beans, tomatoes, fruits, lettuces, different kinds of things, cabbage, all kinds of vegetables and fruit. When it comes time to harvest, he decides that this year he's not going to sell the crops or give it away. He's going to keep everything, that thousands of acres worth of food, for himself. What will happen with all of that food? It'll rot and contaminate. Praise the Lord. Because he cannot eat it all by himself. When you keep the Spirit of God inside of you and do not minister and witness to others, that Spirit, that experience, not the Spirit, but the experience you had in the Spirit, grows stale and contaminated. Amen. And you cannot keep it that way forever. Imagine someone has a pool of water on their property and everyone from miles around will come and drink of that pool. But one day he decides to fence that pool out so nobody can get in it. And he decides that he won't even allow the people who come and refill the pool with water, with the water hose, to come in and refill it. You know what's going to happen to that water? Eventually it'll get hot enough and it will evaporate and it will dry up and he will no longer have a pool with to draw from. Listen to me, if you don't have a source or an outsource where the Spirit of God can minister through you, you're going to lose your experience. Second reason, there's no refilling. There's a Chinese buffet in Dayton, Ohio, where my family and I would go visit all the time when I was growing up. And there, my dad had it down to a science. If you go there, the waitresses and waiters ask you three times if you want a refill. So after the third time, you better be ready to leave. Or if you're thirsty, you ain't going to get nothing to drink. There's not going to be any more refills. You're in a big trouble. When you don't allow yourself to pursue the Spirit of God day after day, you put yourself in jeopardy of losing your experience. Amen. You've got to get refilled each and every day. Oh, come on now. You got to be in these altars on Wednesdays and on Sundays seeking the Holy Ghost. Amen. You got to be getting an experience with God as much as you can, as much as possible, or you'll lose it. Praise the Lord. The third reason is there's no change that takes place. New wine has to be placed into new bottles. But God, this is an interesting thing about God. He'll pour out His Spirit on us before the change takes place, hoping to make us new in the process. Praise the Lord. I heard a preacher one time, he told me, he said, "Brother," he said, "I often wonder why people who are always in and out and up and down, how they can come to church one time a month and the Spirit of God will move and they'll shout all over the place and they won't be back for a while." I wondered. I asked God, "Why, God?" And God said, I let that happen to them so they don't have an excuse when they come before my throne and I judge them for what they're and give them their righteous reward. Now listen to me. You cannot rely on yesterday's experience to get you through the whole month. Amen. And you've got to allow the Spirit of God to change you. You can't allow what you got at Winterfest, young people, to let you get through all the way to Camp Blessing. Because I've seen some of you do it before. And it's a scary thing. You need to be in here getting a hold of God, amen, in a mighty way, praise the Lord, to where that experience, it doesn't leak out. Because if you don't allow yourself to become changed by the Spirit of God, eventually the pressure's going to get to you. The Spirit's going to leak out, amen. And you're not going to have an experience any longer. A Pentecostal experience. A few examples that I grew up with of young people and people who actually were up and down all the time. One was a lady by the name of Amber. Amber was a nice young girl. She came to our church for a while when I was growing up. She didn't have a good home life. She had a very poor home life, but I saw her many times get up on the platform and sing a song and cry and talk and just say, "I'm going to be faithful to God no matter what it takes." Only just a couple weeks later to be outside of the church saying, "I don't want to go to church anymore." I've seen her walk around the pews shoes and just get under the Spirit of God to where she couldn't move another step. Amen. But then just a few services later, you couldn't find her. You'd call her and say, hey, where you at? And she couldn't tell you. She wouldn't want to tell you. She didn't want to be there. Why? Because she had allowed her experience to leak out. Amber had a brother by the name of Gary. One time Gary got saved. He got saved really good. I thought he did. But I remember one day Gary was at school with us, and I went down to the high school. I was in 8th grade at the time, and I had heard that they were having a prayer meeting, so I asked if I could go, me and my friend, and we went down there. But Gary wasn't partaking in the prayer meeting. I mean, Gary had just gotten saved a couple weeks before, and I said, man, why aren't you praying, Gary? And he said, hey, I already prayed this morning. That was a sign that his experience was leaking out because he didn't want to get into the presence of God that day. I remember going to youth camp with a man by the name of Daniel year after year after year, and every single year he would change, but it would be a negative change. He would get saved at camp, and then the next year he'd come back with a tattoo, his hair dyed, a different kind of lifestyle, a different kind of dress, and then he would get saved and give it all up. The next year he'd come back with more tattoos, his hair a different color. I mean, acting all crazy again, time and time again. You know why? Because he never changed, and he lost the experience that he got. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't like the old coat skins. I don't like the old wineskins. I mean, it makes me nervous. The Spirit of God is in you. You got to allow Him to change you. Praise the Lord. The new wineskins, I want to look at those examples. In the book of Acts, there was immediate impact, praise the Lord. And it was made in the lives of those who had been filled with the Spirit of God. You know, Peter, he was a boisterous person while Christ was still around. But when he was confronted by that little girl and others in the crowd, he became a coward and denied Jesus. He even went back to fishing, ran away. But praise God, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, you know what? He didn't sit on his hands and say, well, I'm just going to see what else happens. No, he let the Spirit of God change him. Praise the Lord. And he would not lose his experience. He came out a changed man. He was able to preach to the thousands of people there and tell them, this is what happened. Jesus died. But if you'll cry out to him, he'll save you because he's alive. Praise the Lord. The change can happen in your life if you'll let it. And you don't have to lose your experience. Paul was a man who was stuck in the traditions of the Pharisees. He was definitely not a good candidate for a Pentecostal experience. He was a persecutor of the new way. He hated Christians. But praise God, one day while on his way to Damascus to do some more persecuting, you know the story. That bright light shone and Jesus came down to meet Paul in the way. And Paul said, Lord, what do I need to do? And God told him, Jesus told him, go to this place and this is going to happen. And later on we find that Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what? He didn't lose his experience. Rather, he cultivated that experience. Amen. And he said later on, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than ye all. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I get renewed day by day by day. Praise the Lord. Paul would later, he would talk about it. He said, I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. I'm cast down, but not destroyed. Yes, I have these markings on my body where I've been beaten and I've been through trials and I've struggled and the enemy has fought against me. But even though on the outside I may be worn and weary and beaten because I have a Pentecostal experience on the inside, I'm renewed within my spirit each and every day. Praise God for an ability to keep the experience that you have. Now the rest of the upper room group, 120 of them, there they were. And the Bible talks about they were the ones who turned the world upside down. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because they did not lose their experience. Amen. They did not allow their experience in the Holy Ghost to grow stale. They didn't allow it to leak out. They didn't allow it to leave from them. But no, they allowed themselves. I mean, you can read through the book of Acts and read how many times they went back to the upper room or went to the temple of God and were praising God and worshiping God. And the place was shaken with the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because they wanted a new experience each and every day. Praise the Lord. And you and me, we can have that same kind of experience if we'll decide not to let it leak out. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost change you. What made the difference in their lives is because there was a change. Amen. There was a change. Everybody say change. Look at your neighbor and say, I need to change. Amen. We all need God to change us. You know, and what they did, they walked differently. They did, I believe with all my heart, that they quit going to places that rubbed a little bit of the world onto them. Amen. They quit going to places that blared the ungodly music and hindered their walk with Him. They quit going to places that caused them to lust after the things of this world. Rather, they continue to pursue God and love God with all of their lives. They talked differently. Now, they didn't allow themselves to be sucked into the worldly conversation that so many times we get sucked into. They didn't spend time idly arguing about spiritual things that didn't matter. They didn't gossip and they didn't backbite. Rather, with their mouths, they worshiped and they prayed and they encouraged and they witnessed. Praise God. Yes, there was a change. They thought differently. They won the battle of the mind. Their thoughts were Christ-centered and not self-centered. Their attitudes and emotions, they kept them in check by the Spirit of God. They loved each other. Really, what I'm trying to tell you is there was so much of a change on the inside that it came out on the outside. Praise the Lord. And they even lived their lives in a different way. You know why? Because they wanted to keep the experience and the power that came with being filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As a result, there was an outflow. There was always a refilling because they were changed. Praise the Lord. Now I want to talk about your experience. Amen. Saints of God, our elder saints of God, you've been pulling this train a long time and I appreciate you for that. I really do. I appreciate all of our saints who get in the prayer room at 6 o'clock and even before that, and they pray that the Spirit of God will come down in this place and change lives. I appreciate that. You've been praying down the Spirit and praying up the people. Praise the Lord. You've worked hard to keep your experience alive. And I want to ask our elder saints, can you keep doing it just a little while longer for us? Praise the Lord. You know why? Because we need you. We need you to pray. We need the example. Maybe some of you are growing weary in your efforts to prove to those behind you that the importance of a Pentecostal experience. But I want to encourage you, don't be faint in well-doing, for in due season ye will reap if you faint not. Can I hear an amen? You know, I still need to hear. I need to hear some of you speak in tongues and give the interpretation. I still need to hear the elder saints and watch them as they take laps around the building and they shout in the aisles. Praise the Lord. I still need to have you in the altars, worshiping behind us and patting us on the back, praise God, and praying for us and backing us, amen, as we pursue a relationship with God. Hallelujah. Parents, you're a part of the generation that has dealt with a lack of faithfulness at times. Are you going to be the ones that lead your children to an experience in Pentecost? I want to ask you, will you be the ones that lead us to an experience in Pentecost? Or will you give in to the modernistic, watered-down preaching of the worldly church? I say no. We as parents will rise up and continue to pursue the Spirit of God. Amen. Because I know my son and my daughter, they're watching every move that I make. And when they see me jump and shout in the Spirit of God, I know it's going to rub off on them. And one day they're going to jump, praise God, and they're going to shout and they're going to get filled, praise the Lord, because they say, Mom and Dad had it. I wanted to, praise the Lord. Parents, will you be those parents who stand up and push your kids to get filled with the Holy Ghost? We need parents who will pursue being used in the gifts of the Spirit, amen, for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Amen. We need you to pursue being used in the gifts of the Spirit so your families can experience that, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Will you be those parents? Or will you settle for a leaking experience? Our singles and young marrieds, your generation has lacked greatly in pursuing revival. That's not entirely your fault. It really isn't. Some of you have never been directly influenced within the home. What you've been taught in Sunday school has not been duly reinforced within the home. Others of you are victims of the spirit of the age that has crept in so stealthily into the schools, into the liberal agenda, and even in some cases within the church. But you can be the ones that reverse the process. Amen. Listen to me, our single group and young marriage. You can be the ones that rise up, amen, and set an example for the youth that's coming up. Be somebody to look up to, somebody who's seeking the face of God in the altars, not somebody who's running around trying to find something to do after service, but you're the last one praying, seeking God for a new experience, praise the Lord. We need some young men and young women, some single men and single women, some young marrieds who will say, I'll be a catalyst for revival in our family, in our church, and in the world. Praise the Lord. In youth group, amen. Hallelujah. Youth group, it gets tiring. I know it does. I was there where you are at. I've gone from youth camp to revival, back to youth camp, and things like Power Surge, just trying to keep my experience alive. And many times I failed. And I've tried to even just to maintain the slightest example of a Pentecostal experience while I was your age, and failed many times. But I ask you tonight, are you ready to break that mold? Amen. Are you ready to be examples, not only to your peers, but to your parents, and to the elder saints, to the young marrieds, and even to the singles, about what a faithful young person can be? Praise God. Are you ready to exemplify faithfulness to God? Are you willing to change everything in order to maintain the experience of Pentecost and grow closer to God? I'm telling you, new wine cannot be placed into old bottles. You need to allow the Spirit of God to change you right now. Spirit of God, help us, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I felt this sermon so strongly this week as I was preparing. Even on Tuesday, I was reading in the book of Joel. And it talked about the new wine, how it had dried up. And the Lord struck in my heart that many of our experiences have dried up and leaked out. But I ask you tonight, are you ready to get a new experience and never relinquish that? Is there anyone who is ready? Is there anyone who is ready? Is there anyone who is ready? I don't know. I don't think that you are. I really don't. Is there any young person? If you're a young person tonight and you'll say, I will be the one that carries on the Pentecostal experience. Is there any young people in the house that'll stand up right now and say, I'll keep what I got at youth camp, and I'll keep it for the next 3, 4, 5 months, and I'll keep it beyond that. Praise the Lord. Are there any parents that'll say, I'll get behind my kids and I'll push them to a Pentecostal experience? Are there any parents who'll say, I'll get behind them 100%? And I'll pursue Pentecost with them? Do we have any elder saints who will rise up and say, brother, I'll keep the flame burning a little while longer? Who'll say, I'll keep on praying. I'll keep on seeking. I'll keep on being used in the gifts. Praise God. Hallelujah. I look around this church right now and I see little ones all the way up to the elder saints who will say, I'll keep my Pentecostal experience. Hallelujah. You know what you got to do it right now. Right now, you just got to begin to seek His face. Right here, right now, you got to begin to seek His face. I want all of you who are standing to begin to flood these altars right now. Praise God. And begin to seek the face of God. Hallelujah. Seek a Pentecostal experience. Seek it for your children. Seek it for your families. Seek it for you. Praise the Lord. If you're standing, get up here as fast as you can and begin to pursue that new wine. Praise God. Don't allow it to be placed into an old bottle. Don't allow your experience to leak out, but allow the Spirit of God to change you, to remold you and remake you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, right now, God, I pray that you just fall over this entire congregation, Lord. I pray, God, Lord Jesus, that the Pentecostal experience, Lord, will come down right here in this room, God. Lord, that they'll begin to, Lord, be refilled, that those who need to be filled the first time, they would speak in tongues today, Lord, that those who need to be filled again, that they would get a greater experience than they ever had before. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, saints, pray. Come on, come on, really pray. I want you to really touch heaven tonight. Amen. Don't be silent with your prayers. Pursue it with all your heart. Amen. Pursue God. Pursue God. Hallelujah. Lord, give us God. Pour out your Spirit. He said in Joel chapter 2, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall dream dreams. Your old men shall see visions. Hallelujah. Upon the servants, upon the handmaidens, will I pour out of my Spirit. And as many as call on the name of the Lord, they can be delivered. They can be saved. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, send down your Spirit. Oh, Lord, pour out the power. God, let the floodgates be open, God. Let it rain tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Pour it out, God. Pour it out, Lord. Come on, come on. Oh, Jesus, we're looking to you, God. We need the power. We need the power. Come on, young people. We've got to change this generation. God's starting a revival. Be a part of it right now. Come on, young ladies. God wants you to be a great force in the kingdom of God. Oh, God, pour pour out your Spirit on us in a mighty way. Hallelujah! 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 Yes! Come on, come on, come on, really pray. Oh. Thank you.